Hello and welcome back once again to another Bible teaching, a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Minona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word. I don't know if you've heard of us or not, but we're located on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're there in the Palace Shopping Center, and we have opened up this hand car wash as a way to get God's Word out there. So if you're in the area, if you're in the parking lot 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can listen to powerful, relevant, verse-by-verse Bible teaching by tuning your radio to 107.1 FM. So again, if you're waiting to get your car washed, or even if we're closed and you're in the parking lot area, whether it be over by the library or you're at the doctor's office, you know, whatever, as long as you're in the parking lot, as long as you're around the Wash and Word, you flip your radio to 107.1 FM and you can hear a word from God. And that's why we're here. That's why we exist. This is what we are doing. We are getting God's word out into the public, and we're doing it outside of the four walls of the church. Is that because we're anti-church? Absolutely not. We believe that the church is the greatest institution that Christ himself ever created. And it's valuable. It's important. But we also feel that the church, by and large, has become has conformed just too much to the world. And by and large, the church, not all churches, not your church, but the church itself has taken the word of God and has picked it apart and has chosen to read just the parts that they feel that the people will want to hear. But let me tell you something. God never meant for his word to be handpicked when it comes to being preached. His entire word, his whole counsel, should always be preached all the time. This is why we exist. We said, look, we don't need more churches. We need more of the word of God. And so this is what we do. And we do it for the sole purpose of getting God's word out there. So if you believe in the word of God, if you think we should teach it all, if you believe that this world is in desperate need of the entire counsel of God's word, then come by the Wash and Word. Let us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry alive. And if you have any questions, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. You can find information about this business, about this ministry, and you can download and listen to all of our archive messages if you click on the media tab while you're there. All right, let's get back into it. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We talked a lot in our last message about idol worship and how we all are. We were created to seek after spiritual things. You know, spirituality is an incredibly popular subject. The only problem is people are seeking their spirituality in just about every other way, except through the one way that we can truly be filled, and that's through God himself. And so, let's face it, even solid Christians can be fooled by the devil's clever schemes. And again, we looked at this a little bit in our last message. If you go to washandword.com, you can click on the media tab and listen to that. But this is why in verse 3 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians centers around Jesus. And if you were listening in our last message, we read verse 3, and then we went into this big long spiel about drugs and sorcery. And we tied it together in that last message. But in verse 3, Paul's talking about Jesus, says, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so verse 3 is centered around Jesus. In fact, can I go one step further and say it always centers around Jesus? Just as the head is the epicenter and the control center of the body, Jesus is the head and the center of, everything. The entire world is set up, held together, and sustained by Jesus himself. And the question will always end up being, who do you say I am? And just as the word says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, every single person will stand before God one day, and Jesus himself will say to them, "Who do you say I am?" Friends, there's a huge difference between God and Jesus. Wait a minute, someone might say, red flag, red flag. I thought Jesus was the same as God. I thought the Trinity was the equal parts Spirit, God, Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus. Well, yes, they are, and this isn't blasphemy, okay? But listen, there's a huge difference between God and Jesus. I should have finished it by saying, in our culture or our society. And by that I mean, if you take 500 people and you put them in a room and you start talking about religion and you start talking about God, we could all debate and have our conversations. But the moment you mention Jesus, it's like a movie scene where somebody walks into a bar and like the record goes, you know, scratches and skips and it stops and everybody stops and turns and looks at them. It's like the whole scene just goes silent. Well, that's how it is when you mention Jesus, because you can sit there and talk about God till you're blue in the face with somebody and you can have great debate and conversation. But if you want to know the heart of the matter or the heart of a heart, start talking about Jesus. Start talking about Jesus. Bring up the name Jesus. Always begin and end with Jesus. You know, I've been confronted by Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if you've ever maybe had one come through your door. And all of their Christianese, their Christian lingo, sounds really good. Sounds very much like the Protestant Christian teachings of most churches. Well, what makes Jehovah's Witnesses different? Listen, you can talk to a Jehovah's Witness till you're blue in the face. You can go round and round and round, and they're very well educated. They'll have a scripture for everything. But if you ever want to cut to the chase when it comes to talking with a Jehovah's Witness, simply boil it down for them and ask them this one question. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus God? And that'll end the conversation right there. Because unless you confess that Jesus is God, that he is divine in nature, because the Bible says only God can forgive sins. So if Jesus wasn't God, then you are still in your sin, even after you profess Christ. Ask any Jew, when you boil it all down, say, let me ask you this, is Jesus Messiah? Ask a Mormon, is Jesus the only Son of God? Ask a Muslim, is Jesus equal with God? Ask a Hindu if Jesus is just another teacher to them. John 16:15 says, "All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Listen, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to exalt and glorify Jesus. Jesus God, okay? Not Jesus the great teacher, not Jesus a son of God, not Jesus the prophet, but Jesus, the Son of the living God, divine in nature, from the foundations of the earth before and everlasting to everlasting. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. Jesus, the beginning and the end. Jesus, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the almighty, wonderful counselor. Jesus, the prince of all peace, the healer of all sickness, the eternal, everlasting, never-ending Jesus, the I am. Are we clear? Did I make that clear enough? And this is why Paul uses strong words of denial here when he says anyone who is speaking cannot say Jesus is cursed, or anyone who denies his divinity is basically saying that Jesus is cursed. If you can't say that Jesus is all those things I just mentioned, then you're denying his divinity. And if he is anything but 100% divine, then he is 0% divine. In other words, to deny Christ's divinity to save is to denounce Christ's ability to save. If he is not God, then he is not able to forgive your sin. And if he is not able to forgive your sin, then, my friends, you are still in your sin. And as Paul says in chapter 15 of this same letter, which we'll get to in a few weeks to come, in verse 17 he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Now Paul also speaks positively here in verse 3. He said, "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So he speaks also positively about Jesus being Lord. And remember, he says not was Lord, not will be Lord, but is now and always will be Lord. He is Lord. He is in control. Oh, yes, handsome radio preacher, God is in control. I didn't say that. I said Jesus is in control. Because you will always separate and get to the heart of every matter if you bring in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus defines a person's camp or belief system. But the lords of pride might claim that he is Lord, or the Lord, the lords of sex will claim that he is still Lord, or if money is your Lord, or power is your Lord, or science is your Lord. You see, what I'm trying to say is that they're all lords, okay? And they rule the lives of those who worship them, but we worship the Lord of lords. And every knee will bow at the feet of Jesus. So, if you want to know if a work or a religion or a teaching or a person is truly worshiping the Lord of Lords, Paul says, where the Spirit of God is working, the Lord will be at work. So if the Spirit of God is glorifying Jesus Christ, then that is a true spirit. That is a true worship. That is a true teaching. That is a true religion. If whatever is being done, whatever is in question, glorifies Christ as God, that is a true movement of the Holy Spirit. And anyone or any group of people that focuses on the Spirit and they're not talking about Jesus Christ, well, that's a different spirit. And since Jesus is the beginning and he is the end, he's the Alpha and the Omega, if we start with Jesus, everything else will be perfectly balanced and centered and straight. If we seek to glorify Jesus and his word, the rest of the manifestations of the Spirit are going to be displayed. So we don't seek the manifestations first in an effort to bring forth our beliefs. No, we seek Jesus first, and that brings the manifestations. Well, that's just about it for our time. I hope I conveyed the message in today's teaching, the importance of keeping Jesus as Lord, as putting him first, as making sure that we are very clear and concise when we share our belief, that the first words out of your mouth should be Jesus is Lord, and then everything after that will follow. And if you haven't made Jesus your Lord, come by the Washing Word, have a talk with us. I'd love to lead you into some more teaching about Jesus. Also invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. I do my teachings live, verse-by-verse Bible teachings at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. So hope to see you out there. Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Have a blessed day.